Welcome, warrior. You are listening to Bound by Honor, the Klingon Assault Group Book Review Podcast. Your host, Juvon Tai Dung Yi Soon Sin, Jorn Vestai Vampyr, and Jajim Tai Jajim will explore Klingon culture as it appears in Star Trek literature. Perhaps you yourself can hear the cry of your inner warrior. If so, go to www.kag.org and make your presence known. Learn how to join the Klingon Assault Group and begin your journey along the way of the warrior. Now, here are your hosts, Kapla. Welcome to Bound by Honor, the Klingon Book Review Podcast. I am Jim.
I am Jorn.
And I am Juvon.
And joining us tonight is Kavura from the Klingon Xeno Legions. Want to say hello?
Hello, everyone. This is Kavura.
How's your podcast going? I've been enjoying listening to it.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's going along very well, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
If you're not already, you should be listening to Star Pod Log.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
And the other one is Star Pod Trek. Isn't that not correct?
Yes. Star Pod Trek is our podcast by Nayar and Kavura that is all Star Trek. And then we also do one called Star Pod Log, which is a sci-fi fantasy podcast that focuses on the 70s. So give us a listen.
They are great shows. I've all caught up. I've listened to all of them, and I'm looking forward to the next one for sure.
And they even do book reviews too. So that's
we
fun.
Do. Yes,
they're actually. I was listening to your first Star Trek log today while I was out walking, and you guys were going over Final Frontier, which is that a part of this Rihaisoon series, or does she kind of go off in a different direction?
It's actually different. It's a different writer. It's Diane Carey, whereas this one is Diane Duane. So, but Final Frontier is just the first book that we decided to start with because we knew we would like it, and it's one that takes place in the Robert April era. And the next one will be one about Captain Pike.
Right on.
Just don't mix it with Game of Thrones, or you may have a head on a pike.
Uh-oh. We'll try.
So at any rate, tonight we are gathering here and we're going to talk about Honor Blade, the original series book number 96 by Diane Duane, published in October of 2000. This is the second of really a trilogy of books that makes up this epic story, Sword Hunt and Honor Blade, and finally The Empty Chair. In later omnibus editions of Rihaisoon, the Bloodwing Voyages, the two novels are combined into a single story, Sword Hunt with The Empty Chair left to be published separately. So this is a kind of part two of a book of a novel that has been broken into two parts. And as a matter of fact, when you start it, it actually starts at chapter 6.
That was an interesting place to start, too. It's really strange. You open up a book, because I just have the individual book, and you open it up, and it starts at page 6. Okay. Good thing I read it started at chapter 6. So good thing I read chapters 1 through 5 in the previous book.
Yeah, I was a little confused. I had to go online and make sure I didn't have a misprint.
And my problem was, having the omnibus, I had to go to you guys and figure out where I needed to start reading for this particular review.
John, you want to give us a brief summary of the plot?
Well, from the back of the book, at last the United Federation of Planets and the Romulan Star Empire have agreed to meet on neutral ground. Okay, here's an aside. It's interesting they're meeting on neutral ground, whereas in the book, they're not meeting on ground at all. To attempt to resolve the tangle of intrigue and conspiracy that began with the hijacking of the USS Intrepid many years ago. But the meeting may be dangerous as the war they hope to prevent. As a show of good faith, the crew of the legendary Starship Enterprise has been ordered to attend the talks. In their informal charge is Romulan Renegade Aiel, the wanted fugitive who, with Kirk, served as the catalyst for the current troubles. Kirk must represent the interests of the Federation first and foremost. But the best approach to an agreement remains muddled in the ever-shifting Romulan order. And the visiting Romulan party is as fractious and divided as their troubled world. Among the Romulan nobles in attendance are the hero and popular senator, Ari, who secretly rescued Dr. Leonard McCoy from a Romulan execution, and the very men and women who put McCoy on trial for treason and tried to carry out the sentence. As Kirk and the crew attempt to negotiate a delicate peace and the Romulans their tarnished honor, it becomes increasingly apparent that only course of action is to prepare for war.
So the description is very much action-packed. Kavura, what were your overall impressions of this book?
I enjoyed the book. The main disappointment really was just that it still wasn't a complete story. It didn't have a solid ending, but we know it's continued in the next book. But I do like the portrayal of the Romulans again, and the interaction with Kirk and the Romulan commander, A.L. They still have that excellent friendship going. And the new Romulan they introduced was Gurum, as one of the main characters in here. And I thought he was a great character as sort of someone who was more loyal to the free Romulan people. So, and that's the reason he was in danger in this book. But overall, I thought it was a great book.
Great. And what did you think, Javon?
I have to agree. I do enjoy the way this book is structured more than the previous one, that they ended it on a battle, which and the other one, they just kind of, the battle was like in the first third of the book, and then it felt like they meandered for the rest of it. But at least with this book, they ended on a battle, and that alone makes it a little bit better. I like that they kind of divide it, so you almost could get away with not reading the first half. You could almost get away with not reading the first book and read this one. But I am disappointed it's not an isolated story in any stretch.
Okay, and John, what do you think?
Well, going back to the point where we know the next book is coming, these two books came out bang, bang, within a month of each other. But then the third book is another 6 years in the making.
I don't think that was part of the original plan. I think they did want to release the third book a month later, but then whatever happened, yeah, I mean, I guess there must have been problems with the book schedule and with the writer maybe, and they just didn't get around to releasing it for another 6 years.
Which does kind of put a crimp on it. But again, the way they ended this book, you didn't know what was going to happen with the empty chair when it comes out. So you can stand these two together and leave them by themselves for a while.
It is a good thing that they came out with the omnibus that just put all three stories together, because it is better to just to read them all as one book.
But whoa. The omnibus has three books in it, but they're not this continuous story. The omnibus is My Enemy, My Ally, the first standalone novel.
Oh, okay.
Then the Romulan Way, which has the really good description of Romulan history interspersed within the story. And then the two books, Sword Hunt and Honor Blade, combined into a single novel as the third book in the omnibus.
Okay, so it does not have the empty chair then, so you still wouldn't get a complete story with it.
I think the omnibus, in fact, came out before the empty chair did.
That makes sense.
Okay, I personally enjoyed this one more than Sword Hunt, probably because Honor Blade completed it. But as Javon said, I thought it was written a little better. And even in the slower parts of the story, it moved along way better than Sword Hunt did.
I think some of my problems with the slowness of the story when you didn't have a really good pace came from the fact that I had read Sword Hunt and seen all that slow-moving stuff going on, so she had to overcome that, and it didn't quite make it for me.
I think this one still had a lot of talk, even though the action scenes were good, but it had a lot of conversations, which I actually enjoy, but I know to some people that makes it go a little slower, not having as many action scenes. But I liked all the interactions with the characters, the way they were talking, the contrast of the Romulans and the humans. All of that was good.
Now, in contrast to what you just said, what I would like to have seen was more of the negotiations at the table, the dialogue between Fox and Ambassador Robert Fox was the United Federation planets ambassador at this meeting, having him and his Romulan counterpart discussing the issues of the day, because then we could have gotten into what was going on in the Federation and the Romulan Empire and the strife between them.
That would have been interesting. And I wonder if that part got cut out because it seems like it could have been put in. I mean, the book was short anyway, so it seems like they would have had room to put that. And it would have been interesting.
Yeah, and in the previous book, it seemed like, you know, Ambassador Fox was going to take a much bigger role in the overall story than he actually did in this second part.
I think he did, Jim. It's just that we weren't allowed to see that larger role.
Fair enough.
Well, this is going to sound crazy, but I almost wish there were more books, that each of these storylines almost had their own book, because I find all the different stories interesting, but I find because there's just too many ideas in one book, and they almost could have been all their own stories. They're all interesting stories.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that did take place in the book. Let's discuss the peace conference.
Well, I want to say I like the gathering before the peace conference where they were just mingling and looking over the food tables. And when, you know, Kirk was just standing there and the Praetor Gurum went up and spoke to Kirk. I like that scene. It was just they made it very lighthearted. And it was funny how the Romulan could just, of course, we find out why later on, this Romulan could talk to Kirk and he just seemed so comfortable. And it's because he was more on the Free Rihansu side, but we didn't know that yet. And he was talking to Kirk and saying, like, you know, can I top off your drink? And it was just a very nice casual conversation and showing that these people can get along when they want to.
It was somewhat reminiscent of Journey to Babel and the gathering there with a little bit lighter tone to it.
No Andorians?
Nope.
No, just the Romulans and humans, and maybe the Layla Ru, if any of them were there.
I threw the Andorians in because they're the ones that screwed up the Babel Conference.
Well, they helped to Kav going after Sarek didn't help matters in that one either.
Yes, we had a murder mystery there, which this one, well, kind of turned into attempted murder later.
Yeah.
But I don't think that one was a mystery.
Right.
So Kirk had some frustration with one of his commanders. What was that about?
Was that Danilov? Yeah, Commodore Danilov.
Correct.
And he did not seem to trust Kirk, or at least Kirk didn't think he did. And so there was some mistrust there. I mean, I think Kirk really trusted, you know, the Romulan AL more than Commodore Danilov, and really all of Starfleet. He was wondering how Starfleet was going to handle him being on this mission, which he did decide to do what he thought was right instead of just doing what they expected.
Now, I kind of, if I recall correctly, had kind of an impression that Commodore Danilov maybe felt that Kirk was being influenced a little too much by the Romulans.
He probably did feel that way. Because everyone could tell that Kirk and AL were at least friends. And so they were wondering, like, well, how far is he going to follow her into this?
And I think there was a thread going with Starfleet's feelings towards Kirk and his, and their trust of him. And that thread was not woven enough to let us see what's going on back on Earth.
I think it's entertaining that Starfleet was concerned that he was sleeping with her, because of his reputation as a womanizer.
You know, his reputation as a womanizer, I'll tell you what, when I watch original series, I really think that, that's become more so cliche and actually overblown, because I don't know. I just think that that becomes a comedy point way too much. And even though I can understand how Starfleet might be wary of this, and then Kirk being influenced in a negative way, Kirk is a professional enough to not let that happen.
That thought too.
One could say the same thing about Ael's niece, though, couldn't they?
That she was interested in Spock?
And that she would be too professional to give up the cloaking device.
It seemed like that, yes. And I can see similarities. I mean, the way Ael acted in this, and probably her niece might have acted the same way in a lot of instances.
Frankly, I think Ael was keeping it together better than Kirk was.
She was. We could hear a lot of her thoughts in the story, and she was always concerned with what was going on, and making sure that Kirk knew what was going on.
And that she had no interest in him.
And not only that, but Ael isn't accountable to anyone right now. She's just being hunted. Kirk is accountable to Starfleet and a few others. And so that kind of puts him under the microscope and makes Ael a little more free to behave the way she feels is appropriate.
Because Ael is not, well, she thinks she's being watched, because she thinks there's probably still a spy aboard her ship that we don't know about yet. But yeah, that she knows that the government, she's finished with the Romulan government. So she doesn't have to really act a certain way for them, because she has left them. She's doing what she wants to do now.
Yeah, and if she finds that spy, that'll be the end of that.
No, it won't.
Well, I mean, we hope it's not someone close to her like her son again.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Spoilers!
Oops, well, I don't know any spoilers.
Oh, my goodness. You mean we're spoiling an 18-year-old book? For shame.
No, actually, it comes out in the next book.
So a 13-year-old book.
Ah, well, we're speculating, and if we just happen to stumble on something, that's okay, right?
I mean, I've read the book, so I'm ready for it, but I'm hearing all you guys' speculations, and frankly, you're hitting the nails on the head.
So...
Oh, that's interesting.
Could we say that this is somewhat predictable?
Well, yes and no. When you get there, you'll have that aha moment that a good mystery writer does, when